This morning we're beginning a new series entitled The Trinity and Us. And maybe as you think about the Trinity as a doctrine or as a subject, you maybe think, well, this is a bit dry, it's a bit irrelevant, it can be a bit academic and deep. But I would hope that as we go through this series, that on the contrary, you will find that it will be helpful to you. That it will be helpful to you as a Christian, helpful to you as a father, as a mother, as a man or a woman, as a child. That it will be helpful to you in your discipleship. So we're going to be looking at God in three persons, as we were singing earlier, Blessed Trinity. Michael Reeves, in his book about the Trinity, says this: "It is only when you grasp what it means for God to be a Trinity that you really sense the beauty, the overflowing kindness, and the heart-grabbing loveliness of God." Over the past couple of weeks, as I've been doing a bit of background reading on the Trinity, I have found that my heart has been warmed. My mind has been expanded. My faith has been strengthened. And that would be my prayer for us over the next few weeks as we look at this tremendous subject. We are delving into deep waters, of course, and we're delving into mystery as to how God can be one and yet three in one. The book of Hebrews exhorts us and encourages us to go deeper in our faith and in our understanding of our faith, to move beyond the ABCs. And so in a sense, that's what we'll be doing over the next month or two, is we'll be going a little bit deeper into deeper waters, but hopefully we'll not drown, but instead find that it really helps us in our understanding of God as to who He is and how He wants to bless our lives and move in our lives and use our lives for His glory. In recent weeks, we've been hearing about a space probe that has been moving to the ends of the known universe and sending back pictures. And perhaps as we enter this series on the Trinity, you may be thinking we're entering the kind of edges of our understanding of God, and that would probably be true. John Frame, in his book on theology, and as he explores and thinks through the Trinity, says that the Trinity can be summed up in five key statements which we may not fully understand. God is one. God is three. The three persons are each fully God. Each of the persons is distinct from the others. The three are related to one another eternally, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Though the Bible does not use the word Trinity anywhere, the concept, the idea of God as Trinity flows all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The idea of Trinity, of God as Trinity, is especially unpacked in the New Testament, but it is there in the Old Testament as well. So as we look over these next weeks at the Trinity, I thought this morning we would have a kind of a gentle introduction to it by looking at this great benediction that Paul gives, that we often say nearly every Sunday, the benediction, the blessing of the grace and the love and the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13. I thought we would look at this together for a short time. Sometimes people say that as you read through the New Testament, that Paul isn't necessarily on the same page as Jesus, and that Paul introduces new ideas and new concepts. And sometimes people think that about the Trinity, that it's a Pauline concept, and it's not a Jesus concept. But I would argue strongly against that. For example, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, when Jesus commissions his disciples to go into all the world and to teach disciples everything about him, he says, "I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." It is a Trinitarian baptism. So Paul and Jesus are on the same page on this. So as we look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, I want us to see, and you'll not be surprised by this, I want us to see three things. I want us to see that this threefold benediction reflects something about God, something about the character of us, and something about the church. So first of all, then, this threefold benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, reflects the heart of God. These three words, grace, love, fellowship, are warm words. They are relationship words, relational words. Paul could have spoken whenever he was blessing the Corinthian church and sending them on their way. He could have spoken about the redemption of Jesus. He could have spoken about the holiness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But he chooses, I think, quite deliberately, in terms of this benediction and this final blessing, to remind them about grace and love and fellowship. Paul brings these words to our minds because they represent the relational quality of God. The Trinity models and patterns for us what God's ultimate nature is like. We worship a God who is, in his essential being, a God of grace and love and fellowship. We worship God who from eternity was three persons relating to each other in grace and love and in fellowship. Someone has asked the question, what was God doing before he created the world and the universe and all that we can see? And the answer has come back at the heart of God from eternity to eternity. God was relating to himself in fellowship, the fellowship of the Father with the Son in the Spirit. In that passage we read in John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus prays, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And verse 24, "I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." Mike Reeves says, "The very nature of God is to be effusive, ebullient, and bountiful. The Father rejoices in having another beside him, and he finds his very self in pouring out his love." So whenever we think about creation, creation is about the spreading, the diffusion, the outward explosion of that love that the Father has for his Son. God created us out of love, not because he needed us, because he had this fellowship, this perfectly united, loving, warm fellowship with his Son. But he chose, and they chose, to create this world in which we live. In 1 John chapter 4, we are reminded that God is love. Before God is the Creator, before God is the Almighty, before God is anything, he is God who is love. From eternity to eternity, God is relating to himself in love, in the grace and love and fellowship of the Spirit. And he wants us to be in that fellowship. He wants to invite us to join him in that holy family, if you like, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who would not want that? Who would not want to be part of that loving fellowship? And yet many people, as they think of God, have the wrong concept of God. They do not think of him as someone who is loving, but rather they think of him as someone like Big Brother, who is wielding a big stick looking down upon us, who can't wait to smite us. Christopher Hitchens and many other of the atheists, like Richard Dawkins, say that belief in a God is a bad thing. Christopher Hitchens says this, "I think it would be rather awful if it was true that God exists. If there was a permanent, total, round-the-clock divine supervision and an invigilation of everything you did, you would never have a waking or a sleeping moment when you weren't being watched and controlled and supervised by some celestial entity from the moment of your conception to the moment of your death. It would be like living in North Korea. But how different this is from the picture that Paul paints and that Jesus paints, where God the Father is dwelling in love relationally with his Son by the power and the fellowship of the Spirit. And this is what God invites us into, the eternal fellowship of the triune God. Is it any wonder that whenever Jesus speaks of heaven, when he speaks of coming to know the Father, time after time in his parables, he uses the picture of a party or a feast, a wedding feast to which you're invited? Because this is the picture, this is what he wants to communicate, that something of God's nature, his heart, his values, are love and grace in the fellowship of the Spirit. So this helps us to understand the essential nature of who the God is that we worship. A God of love and a God of grace. But then secondly, this threefold benediction reflects the essential character of the Christian life. As Paul gives this farewell blessing to the church in Corinth, like the dismissal that we use to the church every Sunday, we say, now go in this grace, go in this love, go with this fellowship, and spread it to others. So the essential character of the Christian life is at the heart of this benediction. We are to go into our worlds of home and work and leisure and take something of these values with us. And God's presence is mediated through us by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit warms us and brings us to see who Jesus the Son is, the Holy Spirit introduces us to Jesus the Son. He shows us what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then Jesus shows us the Father. The Father who loves us, the Father who smiles upon us, the Father who wants to have relationship with us. So the Spirit draws us to the Son, and then the Son draws us through what he has done to the Father. These values of grace and love are to live inside of us, and they live inside of us because the Spirit is within us. Now, the pantheists and the Buddhists teach that we become God, or we are God. But Christian teaching is not that we become God, but that God still lives or dwells within us, and he changes us into Christ-likeness. This is wonderful news, that God unites us to himself through Jesus by his Spirit. Again, to go back to that passage in John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus, in his prayer for the church, says this, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. God makes his home in us. God dwells within us by his Spirit. When we come to be children of God through faith, we know the Father's smile upon us. Jim Packer says this, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the thought of being God's child and having God as their Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls their worship and prayers and their whole outlook on life, it means that they do not understand Christianity very well at all. When God by his Spirit comes to dwell within us, he places a seal upon our hearts. He gives us a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, the fellowship that we will have in a new heaven and a new earth with him. So understanding the Trinity, God as Father, Son, and Spirit, is no mere academic pursuit, but it flows into our understanding of ourselves and our understanding of others who sit around us, that we are part of the fellowship of heaven. We are part of God's family, and we are to exhibit more and more the nature of God, who is grace and love. He is a generous, giving, bountiful God who moves towards us in love. And the more that we mature as his children, we exhibit these qualities more and more in our lives. We grow in the gifts and the graces of the Holy Spirit, who brings us more and more alive to God. William Tyndale, as he reflected on the Trinity and as he especially reflected on the Holy Spirit, says this: "Where the Spirit is, there it is always summer. Where the Spirit is, there it is always summer. The Spirit makes us warm with life as he turns us towards the Son, Jesus. And then Jesus introduces us to his Father. And we are welcomed into this family of love and grace. So whenever we move from place to place, as we go from this church this morning, will we bring summer into people's lives, or will we bring an icy cold blast of winter? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says this: "God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." God has poured out his love into our hearts. One of my favorite places to walk is Glenarriff. And I just love standing beside the waterfalls. And Paul, in a sense, in this chapter in Romans 5, is saying it's as if you're standing under God and he's cascading, he's waterfalling his love and his anointing into our hearts as we worship him. And then the idea is that fills us up with grace. And as it fills us up with love, we go out with that grace, we go out with that love, and we spread it to others. In this new year, is that what we want to be? As we are dismissed with the benediction into a new year, will we go in the grace and in the love and with the fellowship of the Spirit? So in this threefold benediction, God reveals through Paul to us his essential nature, the heart of God, love and grace. He reveals to us what he calls us to be and the essential character of the Christian life as we have received God's grace, as we have received God's love. We go with that love and grace to others. And thirdly and finally and very, very briefly, in this threefold benediction, we see the unity of the church. We see our unity together. It's very easy to miss it, but at the very end of that benediction, he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Not just some of you. Not even those who have been behaving themselves this week and sinning less. No, the grace, the love, the fellowship be with you all. I love it whenever I meet a Christian who's from another country, another culture, different language. And even though I have never met that person before, if I know that they are a brother or a sister in Christ, we have a unity. We have something that unites us much more than what separates us. We have a love for God through the grace of Jesus in the fellowship of the Spirit. And that bond that unites us will go on. It will outlast nations. It will outlast states. It will outlast cultures. It will outlast time. And that's a lovely unity that we share together. And as we come now to take this communion meal, it is also a reminder that we are united as believers at a deep soul level through these bonds of the Spirit. We've come from different backgrounds, different homes, different jobs, yet there is this lovely unity as we're bound together in the uniting of Jesus. And this meal, simple as it is, reminds us that God, the three in one, through this meal reminds us that Jesus has died for us. God calls us to himself. The Spirit has drawn us in bonds of love. We have been redeemed in love. We have been chosen in love. We have been freed from sin's grip in love. So I don't believe the doctrine of the Trinity is boring or dry or academic. It is God exalting. It is faith strengthening. It is life affirming. As God welcomes us into his great family, the fellowship of the three in one.